Number one, I know it already.
One of my rabbanim used to emphasize the importance of starting every sefer with the Hakdamah. Many sfarim start with the Hakdamah, and the Hakdamah really is the key to explaining what the whole sefer is all about. The rest of the sefer is, in a certain sense, just an elaboration upon the Hakdamah. This is very true when it comes to the Hakdamah of the Mechaber to the Sefer Mesillas Yesharim. The Mechaber and Sefer Mesillas Yesharim opens with a lot of yesodos, a lot of very important principles, which really will help us all here grow a great deal. And it usually takes me a few months just to get through this Hakdamah. As we'll see, you can be mizayik in almost every word of the Mesillas Yesharim. This is a sefer that was written with diamonds. Every single word is valuable. They say that the Vilna Gaon, after he read a number of chapters of the sefer, found that there was not one extra word. So being that that's the case, it is a sefer which is Kodesh V'Tahar, and every word is worked out with tremendous meaning. So let's see. The Hakdamah of the Mechaber. Amar HaMechaber. The author of the Mesillas Yesharim, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, begins by saying, HaChibur HaZeh Lo Chibartiv, I didn't write this sefer to teach people that which they don't know. But rather, to remind them of that which they already know. And that I already underlined. That's a very important phrase. The point of the sefer is not to tell us chidushim. The point of the sefer is to teach us things that we already know. Things which are public knowledge. Everyone knows about these things. World famous things. That's what this sefer is going to be all about. People often think that when it comes to inyanim of Musar, they know it already. I heard this already. I heard that shmooze already. I heard it. I know it. What are you going to teach me? Well, it says in the Mesillas Yesharim, that's not my point to teach you anything. It's to tell you things you already know. Well, one second. If I already know it, then why do you have to tell it to me? If I already know it, why are you telling it to me? A lot of guys ask that question to themselves wrongly when they chazer a shir. If I already know the shir, I already understood the shir, why am I chazering it? If there's a test the next day, I have a good excuse to chazer. The excuse to chazer is I have to memorize it, so I know it for the test. But if I don't have a test the next day, why am I chazering? So why am I chazering? Well, when it comes to learning, the idea is to get it clear. As much as you might think you know it from hearing it in shir, you're brilliant, you understood everything as it came out of the Rebbe's mouth or faster, you understood it all. So I understand, but if I chazer, I get it clearer. Or I try to see, maybe the Rebbe made a mistake, maybe I can catch him on something, maybe there's a kasha on what he said. Okay, that's when it comes to a shir. But when it comes to inyanim of Musar, of Midos, be a nice guy. Okay, I know that. All right, so you'll tell me a few details of how to be a nice guy. I know that too. I have to review that. It's so complicated. It's so hard that if I don't review it, I'm not going to fully grasp it or fully understand it. So then why do I have to review? And then why does Mesillas Yesharim have to write a sefer, La'as Kira, Se'adu Lehem Kvar, to remind us of things that we already know, Mepursim Ephraim, Pursim Gadol, and are world famous that everyone knows? Why do you have to write such a sefer? Perhaps the answer to this question can be based on two very important ideas that can be brought out from the Torah. One is from a Chazal that you know very well. The other one is from a Chazal that you're probably not as familiar with. The Torah says in Parshas Noach, Chumash Bereishis, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, and you could and you should look it up. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. Noach took his family with him into the teva, mipnei mehamabel, mipnei, because of the waters of the mabel. Rashi quotes Chazal. What does this mean? Mipnei mehamabel, that he went in because of the waters of the mabel. Of course, he went in because of the waters of the mabel. He wasn't going into the teva because he wanted to have a summer home. That's not why he was going into the teva. It was mipnei mehamabel. So why does the pasuk add mipnei mehamabel? Rashi says mipnei mehamabel. Af Noach mitane emuna haya. Even Noach was from people who had a small amount of emuna, very little emuna. Mamin ve'eno mamin, shiyavo ha-mabel. He believed, and at the same time he didn't believe, that there would be a mabel. V'lo nichnas l'teva, he did not go into the teva, ad shedachkuhu hamayim, until the water pushed him in. Mipnei me'amavu. So Rashi quotes a Chazal that Noah did not go into the teva until the water pushed him in, as we probably were told in elementary school. The water was up to his neck, and finally he went into the teva. Mamin ve'eno mamin. It's a pellet. It doesn't make sense, l'chora. Noah was a tzaddik. Whether he was a tzaddik b'dorosa, even be a tzaddik in the time of Avraham Avinu, but he was a tzaddik. He was a person who walked with the Rabboni Shalom. He was a person who got a direct nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's going to be a mabul. For 120 years, he went around with his grandfather, Mr. Shelach, giving mussar to people, telling them a mabul is coming. Do tshuva. For 120 years, he and his sons built a table. That was a big table. 120 years they spent building it. And then, in the last 7 days before the mabul, miraculously, all the animals start coming. Come on. All the indications that there's going to be a mabul are here, except the rain. And now it's raining. And the rain's up to your ankles. And Noah is sitting there stroking his, he's over 600 years old, so stroking his long white beard and saying, well, I don't know, maybe it's just a spring shower. And it was the fall, right? It was Cheshvan. So maybe it's just a spring shower. Mamin, Ve'eno, Mamin. Is it possible that Noah didn't believe the mabul was coming? How is it possible to believe that the flood is not coming until it's up to your neck? And he starts to think, oh boy, I better get inside. This is already dangerous. How can that be? The Sefer Chidush HaLev, you see it's a well-used Sefer, the Sefer Chidush HaLev answers this question by using a Yesod, which is from the Aleph Beis of Mutzah, that each person has two faculties. He has a heart and he has a mind. And even though we think that the distance between our heart and our mind is only about a foot and a half, but it's rachok mizrach mimayriv. It's as far away from each other as east to west. The mind to the heart has a great distance between them. Even though a person knows something, and Noah knew quite well, intellectually, he knew that the mabul was coming, yet it still is possible, says this Chazal, the Rashi quotes, that even a Noah, who knew quite well the mabul was coming, deep down somewhere in the subconscious emotions of his heart, deep down, a teeny little amount of lack of belief that it's really going to happen still somehow was there. Still it was somehow, that's what Chazal tell us, in some dakos level, the smallest slice of a possibility within his subconscious, still it was a slight doubt. It can't be. The world exists. Can you imagine a world is going to suddenly destroy itself? It's going to suddenly be destroyed? No one would have imagined at 8 o'clock in the morning of September 11th, 2001, what was going to happen just a few minutes later. No one could imagine such a thing. It wasn't possible. Even intellectually, there may have been people who knew. And now we have heard that some people did apparently know something was going on. People knew something, but they couldn't believe it. They couldn't register. Deep down in their emotions, it can't be. We're invulnerable. It can't happen. That's what Noah felt. It can't happen. It can't be. A slight doubt. Look, you heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he knew it, but somehow, mamin ve'eno mamin, subconsciously deep in his emotions, he couldn't believe it. Just a teeny little bit. And says the Chiddush HaLev, we therefore see from here a tremendous Chiddush, that even though intellectually a person knows something is true, if he has even the smallest doubt, the smallest emotional negia, the smallest emotional tainting, in the opposite direction from what he knows, that can cloud his mind and confuse his mind to the extent that Noah would not go into the table until he was pushed in by the flood. Even though he knew it, since somewhere deep down he didn't feel it completely, it clouded his mind. He almost forgot about the fact that he knew it. And he didn't go in until he had no choice. This is the Yisod the Bali Moshe tell us. Even though the person knows something, there still might be a doubt deep down as to the truth of that fact. This would answer the question we're asking on Mesillas Yesharim. The whole point of Mesillas Yesharim is to remind us of things we already know. Yes, we know it. We know it intellectually. But do we feel it? Do we feel Yiras Shamayim in our life? Do we feel the need for proper and good midos and excellingly good midos and super good midos? Do we feel that it's important to our life? We know it. We all grew up with nice parents who tell us, you have to be a nice boy. They even tell us, in our family, we act in this and this way. We do things very properly. Proper etiquette, proper manners. That's the way we do it. But do you feel it? You know it. But do you feel it? The way to feel it is by repeating it. By hearing it again. And then it starts to sink in. In the case of Noah, just to hear it again wasn't even enough. He had to be pushed in by the water. In the second case that I'm going to give you now, just hearing it was enough. This is based on, also in Chumash Bereishis, Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Mem Aleph. Yosef had just told Paro that a famine is coming to Mitzrayim, and you got to do something about it. You got to appoint somebody who's a very bright person, who's going to take charge of collecting food over the next couple of years where there's going to be a lot of food. And that way there'll be some food left for the time of the famine. So he told Paro, you got to do something. And Paro appointed Yosef. A Novon V'chacham Kamolcha. Isha Elokim, he appointed Yosef. And then the Torah tells us, Vayomer Paro Yosef in Perek Memalos, Pasuk Memalos, Re'ei, notice, see, Nasati Oscho Al Kol Eretz Mitzrayim. I put you in charge of all of Mitzrayim. Clearly that's what Paro just did. We have to then tell him, just realize that's what I just did for you. The Sfarno says, Re'ev Yisbonah Hetev, he means to tell Yosef, think about this, realize, Lahanik B'tachos HaTov, do a good job. Ki Dover Godol Nasati Yosef, because I just gave you a great thing to do. It's a big job. So the Bali Musar asks, was it necessary for Paro to tell Yosef it's a big job? Yosef was the one who just invented the job. Yosef was the one who just told Paro, there's a big job. You got to appoint somebody who really knows how to do it, to do it. And Yosef, Paro recognized, was a Navon V'chacham Kamocha, the brightest guy around, the most talented person. And the Yishua Elokim, he speaks the word of God. And nevertheless, Paro realized that even a Yosef who intellectually knew exactly what the job was, somehow deep down in his emotions, he may not have felt it completely. And now that Paro appointed him to the position, Paro had to remind him, to tell him what he already knew. He had to tell him, realize it's a big job. You know that it's going to be a big bechina. It's a big bechina. But the Rebbe hands out the bechina and he says, Rabotai, it's a hard bechina. It's a hard bechina. Please concentrate during the bechina. I know that. Last night already I was studying. I realized I'm going to have to concentrate. I'm going to have to think during the bechina. But you need a little extra reminder. Because somewhere deep down in your emotions, you might feel, well, for me, you know, I'm a straight-A student. I've been a straight-A student my whole life. I get hundreds without even thinking. It's so easy for me to get hundreds. So, okay, this is the first test, and it's a new Rebbe, and it might be, he said it was going to be a hard test, but, you know, I have confidence in my abilities. I'm a pretty bright guy. I'm pretty sure. But then you're reminded at the time of the test, think. Use your brain. There might be trick questions. There might be times that you're going to have to remember something which is mashma in the question, but it wasn't explicit in the question. Otherwise, you might not get full credit. You have to think. You need that reminder. Everyone needs that reminder. So says the Mesillas Yesharim, right in his opening blow, his whole point to the Sefer is Lahaz Kirom Es Hayadul Hem Kvar, is to remind us of that which we already know. Because even though intellectually we know it, Yadua, it's known, for the word Yada, we know it. It's Mefursim Esplom Pirsum Godel, it's famous. Everyone knows this fact. Nevertheless, you have to get it into your emotions, and you have to have it repeated in order to do so. Kilo simsa brov dvarai, says you will not find within most of my words el dvarim sherov ve adam yodim osam, except things that most people know, velo mistap im behem klal, and they have no suffix about it at all. Ela shekti rov persumam, who can neged masha mitosim gwila kol, however, in proportion to how famous it is and how true it's revealed to everyone. Everyone knows the truth of this fact. In proportion to that, in proportion to its being known, it's also forgotten. We'll conclude by stating that Rabbi Shaul Salanter, used to some, the founder of the Muslim movement, used to sometimes say over 1,000 times a chazal or a pasuk. The story is told about one time that somebody went with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter on a trip, and they stayed together as roommates in an inn, and Rabbi Yisrael woke up in the middle of the night to apparently learn, and this other person woke up and overheard Rabbi Yisrael Salanter repeating over and over and over, I forget which pasuk it was, whatever the pasuk was, over and over again. He knew the pasuk. He was trying to beat it into himself because he needed to work on a particular midah. I believe it was Tosh Shem Tanima, but I am not sure, I don't remember. If he did it for one pasuk, he did it for many pasukim. If he did it for one chazal, he did it for many chazal. So beat it into you, because that's what we need. We need constant reminders of these issues of Yerushalayim and of Midos, so we can not only know it, but we can feel it as well.